It's a long-standing tradition here at State of Belief to take a little time at the end of the year to look back on the biggest religion news stories and to do it with the person who spends every day making sure those stories are covered responsibly and comprehensively. Kevin Ekstrom, editor-in-chief at Religion News Service, the premier secular journalistic organization providing unbiased reporting on matters of religion for over 75 years. Kevin, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Always good to be here.
Well, has it been a good year for religion or a bad year for religion?
Well, it's been a great year for religion news. There's this guy in Rome, Pope Francis. You may have heard of him. He's keeping things interesting for us.
You know, I remember you telling us to watch for him because there may be some surprises, and boy, there have been.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who he's made it common to expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
Every day I walk into the office, never quite sure what kind of thing he's going to be up to that day. He's really sort of reinvigorated the religion beat, but made it a lot more interesting and a lot more fun, actually, to cover.
Kevin, isn't it true that the stories on Francis are not just attracting the usual religious audience, but a larger audience than that?
Right. And that's what I think makes him so compelling of a figure, is that he is not only remaking the Catholic Church and remaking the papacy, but he's remaking what it means to be a religious leader.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
Well, is he the number one story of the year?
He is. He is. You know, when I was putting together our list, which you can read at religionnews.com, I was really struck by how much of the news was dominated by Francis. I've been doing this list for almost 15 years now, and it was the first year where I almost struggled to figure out what else happened this year because he dominated everything.
What are some of the other top stories?
I think the other big one is gay marriage made huge, huge gains this year. Probably more changes on that in more places this year than in any other year. Obviously, the Supreme Court ruling that struck down the ban on federal gay marriage. But we had six states, and seven if you count California, that legalized gay marriage just in this year alone.
Yeah. Is the big story what the government did more than what churches did?
I think so. And I think even more than what government did is really what society is doing. Gallup every year does a poll of the moral acceptability of different issues, divorce, gambling, you name it. And on homosexuality, they detected a 19-point swing, which is the biggest shift on any issue that they have ever detected. So what's going on in government and what's going on in churches is really a reflection of what's going on in society as a whole.
Yeah. I know from past experience that you're reluctant to criticize mainstream media and how they cover religion. But there have been a lot of religion stories this year, as you're just intimating. So let's put it this way. Do you think the American people were well served by the way religion was covered in non-religious news sources this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think by and large, everyone did a fairly responsible job. You know, there's always room for improvement. I think some of the nuance and some stories was lost. So if you take the contraception mandate, which was the other another big story this year, it's going to be going to the Supreme Court in 2014. Much of the opposition to the mandate was portrayed as a Catholic issue, when in fact, really evangelicals are the ones who are leading the charge in the court. So when the Supreme Court hears the case, they're going to be hearing about a company, Hobby Lobby, which is run by evangelicals, and a cabinet maker, which is run by Mennonites. A lot of the Catholic suits, which deal with hospitals and schools and colleges, actually are on a separate track.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a little bit lost in the weeds on the details there. And I think some of the coverage of Pope Francis has been fawning, perhaps not quite as critical as it could be. There is a tendency, because he's so interesting and does such interesting things and has such a way of capturing the imagination, that it's easy to get wrapped up in that, well, what did Francis do today kind of thing.
Right.
And it makes him into a celebrity, which he clearly is. But, you know, the papacy and the Pope is not tabloid fodder, or at least maybe it shouldn't be.
Right, right. Did you do the top 10 stories?
We didn't rank them, but the Religion News Writers Association did. And the election of Francis was number one. But the number two story, which is actually fairly easy to forget, was the resignation of Pope Benedict the 16th. Mm-hmm. And if he hadn't resigned, we wouldn't have had a new pope. So equally important story, I think, for different reasons. You know, but also in that list, there was a noticeable drop off between, you know, Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, gay marriage, the mandate, and then everything else.
I would like to know what you think was the most underreported religion story of the year.
That's a good question. One of the stories that I thought was most interesting that didn't get a whole lot of press, I don't know if it was underreported, but it's worth watching into 2014. There are two parallel court cases on church-state issues mm-hmm. that are really interesting. One is a federal court has said that clergy should not have a tax break for their housing allowance. Mm-hmm. And the other one is an ongoing case that where a bunch of atheists are charging that religious groups should have the same financial disclosure requirements that other nonprofits. So, for example, the Red Cross has to list who its top donors are and how it spends its money. Right. First Baptist does not.
Right.
And so together, those two cases raise really interesting and kind of profound questions about religion's role in mm-hmm. American life and whether or not religion should be treated differently mm-hmm. Than other aspects of life, because right now they are.
Right.
And the question is, should they be? So you didn't get a whole lot of attention, but I think it really kind of a fundamental question, and it'll be worth watching.
But you know, Kevin, in the past, when they came up, people would say, oh, they're never going to do anything with that. I think they have to do something in looking at that now, given the atmosphere of the country.
Right. Well, and you've got a country now where 1 in 5 Americans have no religious affiliation.
Exactly.
Denominations are losing their claim on mm-hmm. people, and they don't have the automatic deference that they maybe once did. So the question then is, okay, so if the country is literally changing before our eyes on this score, what do we do about that? And you know, does that affect tax policy on a really mundane level?
I always put you on the spot a little bit, and I want to ask not only what is the news story that you're going to be keeping your eye on in the coming new year, but what do you think will be the big story for the first part of next year?
You know, Pope Francis obviously is going to keep us busy. There's a lot of interesting things going on there. It will be interesting to see what the Supreme Court decides on public prayer. There's a case that will be decided in the spring on how religious prayers can be at public meetings. That's worth watching. I think this continuing tug in civil society over how much claim religious institutions have over individuals and even religious congregations.
Right.
I don't know if that's a story that fits itself naturally into a sexy headline,
mm-hmm.
But it's a really significant shift.
Yeah.
A couple other things, immigration, whether or not mm-hmm. They'll be able to get an immigration bill through Congress, which a lot of churches have gotten really rallied around, but also mental health issues. We saw this year the suicides of two prominent megachurch pastors' sons. And it's raised lots of interesting questions about the role of mental illness in churches. And I have a feeling we haven't heard the end of that story.
Kevin Ekstrom is editor-in-chief at Religion News Service, an invaluable resource that we rely on every week for comprehensive, objective reporting of religion news. Visit them often at religionnews.com. Kevin, as always, thanks for being here today. And I wish you and your family a very happy new year.
Thank you so much.
Here's an unforgettable State of Belief moment from 2013. Linda Robertson, founder of JustBecauseHeBreathes.org, who lost her gay son due to a drug overdose following ex-gay therapy.
And I think we've all recognized, Rob and I have, and the moms in our group are recognizing that God's love for us so much bigger than we used to think. We had God in this little box with all these limits, and God's grace and love and mercy are so much broader and more vast and more incomprehensible than we could have ever imagined. It's
Moral Monday's founder and North Carolina NAACP head, the Reverend William Barber.
When we come together and we destroy the white Southern strategy myth, and that is that you can somehow hurt other people without hurting yourself, and we go directly at that with a movement that's not so much Democrat or Republican, but calls people to a higher place, then that's where you begin to find hope. When last Monday, a white lady from Harnett County, and you understand, Harnett County is where the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan used to live. And she came up to me and said, Reverend Barber, I was taught not to like, you know, the NAACP, but the only people fighting for us poor people right now is the NAACP. And then she said this. She said, I brought 5 other members of my family, and we all going to jail. This civil disobedience. We've never done this in our lives. She said, but I'm so sick of people tearing us apart and dividing us. We're in this together.